pride causes us to suppress that emotion because I'm fearful of what others may think of me if I experience or I express that I'm feeling doubt in some form or fashion, you know.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
And I mean, the guy had the audacity to tell me in an email, if y'all stop talking about Jesus so much, you'd get way more money.
What'd you say to him, dude?
What did I say to him? You know, Carl, hit it.
Power is there, but you weak. They said I'll get paid more if I mention Jesus less.
Will he do it?
Let's see. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. There's nothing you can do to free us. That's only Jesus, 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 Jesus.
That's what I said to him, baby. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
That's that heat right there. That's that heat right there.
Hey, let me, before we jump in, let me talk.
Come on.
That is up and coming. He might have been out for a while. I just found him, Christian artist, really strong. His name is Isaiah Robin, and he has kind of a stage name, but man, from what I've researched, he's the real deal, and that song is a really cool song. We enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Yeah, that song's awesome. He just shot that to me and Carl the other day, and we've been listening to it since. But welcome, guys. Life After Addiction, episode 15. And today, God's really just put something on our hearts, and that's the topic of doubt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's something that we shy away from, even so much as to say the church, from talking about. But it's an issue that we all deal with as Christians.
Yeah.
At some point in your walk as a Christian, if you are intellectually engaged in your faith and seeking the things of God, you'll experience doubt, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's something, like I said, as men or even just people in general, you know, I feel like pride causes us to suppress that emotion because I'm fearful of what others may think of me if I experience or I express that I'm feeling doubt in some form or fashion. You know, I always just think of when I hear the word doubt, I think of like, like people just grasp me at like, oh my gosh, you're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to be a mentor. You're supposed to be so spiritual.
Right.
And so it's just something we shy away from. And I listed out a couple things, you know, that we doubt, you know, at least I doubt personally as well at times, you know, doubting the calling God has placed on our lives.
Yeah.
Doubting my ability to fulfill what God has called me to.
Yeah.
Doubting the sovereignty of Christ throughout adversity we face.
Yep.
Doubting God's goodness when we go through dark seasons emotionally and spiritually.
Yep.
Doubting God's involvement in certain areas of our lives or even having thoughts or questions about God's existence at times. I know that's a tough one and it may seem like, oh my gosh, you doubt that, but we can't control our thoughts. If I have a mere thought that pops into my head, that could be from the enemy. Now, that doesn't believe my spirit is in agreement with that thought, but I think these are things that are good to get out in the air and be able to talk about and dialogue and discuss. And sometimes it's not just as simple as, well, you need to read your word and pray.
Yeah.
Yes, that's an aspect of it, but there is an intellectual aspect of it. There is a spiritual aspect to it. And I think there's common grounds when we can discuss these things freely and not have to feel uncomfortable talking about them and addressing something that makes me not feel like I'm so isolated and alone in the thoughts that I'm having when it comes to doubt or feeling like I'm the worst Christian ever and God's ashamed of me because I had a thought that came into my mind and maybe the enemy's caused me to flirt with it for a little bit of time or what may have you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Doubt is something that, I think maybe like many things, but I think doubt is what do you do with it, right? Mm-hmm. And that determines your walk. That determines what dwells within you. That determines certain things. Because doubt, I don't know that you can control a feeling of doubt, right, that creeps in like other things. But
that's
what
exactly
you
right.
do with it, a couple of different things could happen. One, it could cause you to, man, spiral into a place of fear, into a place of depression, into a place of the lowest self-esteem, no confidence, and it can distract you from your ministry, your testimony, right? Telling it. And I definitely think that it is a very common tool that our adversary uses.
Absolutely.
And also to take some power away from our adversary, our own flesh probably struggles with this a lot too. But that is one of the biggest tools that goes after Christians in ministry, which should be all Christians, right? Like whether you're working or serving at a church or a ministry like ours, or you're not, you're serving your neighbors, your family, your people at work, you are serving at your church, but you're in service, you have a ministry, right? We're all called to have a ministry of reconciliation. And so the biggest tool, one of the biggest tools, if not the biggest or most effective, I'd say, is that doubt, putting either self-doubt, allowing our flesh to engage in self-doubt, or listening to the accusations of the enemy, and we're doubting our own call.
Yeah.
Which inevitably, like you said, is we're doubting the sovereignty of God.
Absolutely.
Right? Because this isn't, we didn't choose this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I'm going to plug a book real quick.
Uh-oh. Come on now. Sponsor the pod.
I'm in an apologetics class for school right now, and I've only read the first few chapters, but it's really insightful, and it's called Hard Questions, Real Answers, and it's by William Lane Craig.
Yeah, he asked me to help him with some of that.
He texted me yesterday, and he pointed that out, and I was like, dude, I could have just went to Comer and read the book.
Bill Craig? Yeah. Old Billy boy. Yeah.
But,
sponsor the pod, Bill.
He points out three specific points, you know, that we can help to address doubt with, so I'm just going to read a couple of those.
Yeah.
A few of those. I'm going to go one by one. I'll talk about one, then I'll let you share what you have. But the first one he pointed out was, you know, recognizing that doubt is never a purely intellectual problem. So it's realizing that there is a spiritual dimension to the problem of doubt that we must recognize and address, and being aware of the fact that, man, we have a worthy adversary out there who desires to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, and he's going to do that at any cost necessary, you know, and he uses, like you just said, doubt, man, to cause us to question everything, like to even cause me to question sometimes if I know God the way I thought I knew God, and certain things like that. But he quoted the scripture, Ephesians 6:12, and it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And so my charge, or something I try to always keep in mind as well when I'm experiencing times of doubt and seasons of doubt, because, man, it happens frequently for me sometimes. Mm. I'm not immune to those things. I'm not any different than any person. And I sometimes, if I'm being honest, man, I'm too prideful to share certain ways in which I'm doubting God, or I'm doubting his sovereignty, or I'm doubting his involvement in certain things that are going on in my life. But it's not something that I can just simply fix with my mind, or even to say it's not even something I can simply fix with just praying. Yeah. These are some things of God you have to wrestle with. You have to wrestle with some things, and maybe you'll get the answer revealed to you in due time, and maybe you won't. But nonetheless, you got to go back to the foundations of our faith.
Yeah. Even it's almost a cycle, even the keeping the doubt quiet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Engages more and causes more shame, more depression, more guilt of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this cycle. I had this doubt. I can't speak of this doubt because of this position that I'm in, or this whatever it is, and that only adds on, amplifies, and all this other stuff. And yet we know the truth.
Absolutely.
And the truth will what?
Set you free.
That's what Carl said too.
Come on.
Come on. Yeah, I mean, I want to read Webster's, and I'll just tell you why I'm pulling up the definition.
Hey, let us hear this real quick, though, because we need to know. Yeah.
Can I tell you why I'm using
it? Why are you doing it on
there? So last episode, or the episode before, I asked our really amazing producer, Carl. I think it was on, what was it on? It was on
Joy.
Yeah. Joy to the world. I remember now. It was an amazing episode up until a certain point. And this point, I asked Carl, you know, off camera, hey, look up the Webster's definition of joy. And so he does that. And I'm still talking. I'm thinking I'm going to come back after a point and look at this definition and read it to you. Well, it wasn't Webster's. It was Wikipedia. That basically, well, you can go back and watch the episode. I fumbled over it, but even more interesting, even more.
Yeah,
he pulled up the same one now. It was just like this. It was not a great definition. He went back in the episode and pulled up another one, but I had already passed it and didn't pick it up. But even more interesting, my partner, my co-host, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. What he did was he looks down at the seat. We have a little TV down here that Carl puts stuff up. Sometimes he's like, hey, guys, you're talking too much. You know, no, he can send us messages. And Ryan saw the definition that Carl had pulled up, and I'm sitting here talking, and I'm looking at him, and that's the face he made. He knew immediately that's going to go badly for Adam when he goes back to the definition. Now go back and watch the episode. He says nothing.
That's exactly what happened. I panicked.
He does nothing. He says nothing. And then he just lets me cruise on into it.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I'm joking. All of that was true, but I am joking. I love Carl and we're learning here. But I'm just going to look up the definition myself from now on. And so when we look up the word doubt, it says this. There's two different meanings. To be uncertain about something, to believe that something may not be true or is unlikely. And then here's one, to have no confidence in someone or something.
Mm.
And so faith, and I mean, I don't need to do a play on words with all this, but I believe the word confidence, confide, is without faith.
Mm.
Or with faith or something like that. Confidence is with faith, confide. I don't know. I maybe messed that up. And so when we're talking about God and we insert God into this doubt, it's like, man, you know, are we uncertain about God? Are we uncertain about who God says we are? Do we not have confidence? Do we not have faith in God? And I think it is, I think it's, we're trying to hit two sides of the street here because they're both true. One is, hey, this is common to believers.
Right.
But I don't want to say that and skim over the importance of having confidence, of getting rid of that doubt because of who God is. We don't want to skim over and be like, hey, it's okay, live there.
Right.
And correct. Just because he's doing it, they all doubt. That's not permission for you to sleep there.
Correct.
To dig your pit there and decorate your walls with doubt paintings, right? Mm-hmm. Or doubt posters. No doubt posters. It was a band.
Gwen Stefani, baby. Shout out. It
was before your time, Carl. I think there was a movie called Doubt too, but we won't go there. You could hang that poster up on your pit. But, I mean, it's important. So I'm going to read some scripture here that's found in Mark.
Okay.
And, man, I love this passage. I always, when it comes to faith or doubt or, you know, things like that, I really want to come here, and I've heard it preached on, and I just love it. And so it's kind of long, so bear with me. This is Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able to." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire or into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can."
Mm.
"All things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief."
Mm. That's powerful.
Anybody been there?
Many, many a times.
"I believe, help my unbelief." Like, I think that should probably be the tattoo that most of us get, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. I know a lot of us are getting like, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," Philippians 4:13. But what about Mark 9? "I believe, help my unbelief." Mm. Now, I mean, I've been there, man. I think that's exactly what, for believers, we know it's true, but we don't know it's true. We know it's true, yep. But help me in my unbelief. And that, man, when I heard this preach, when I read this, just marinating, I've taught this. Anytime this comes up, it's just so like real.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah.
When the Bible gets real, it's like, hey man, I believe, but I need help in my unbelief. Now here's the thing. Is that enough? Is that enough right there? Just being real and honest with Christ in that moment, he's saying, "I believe, help me in my unbelief." Is that enough to kind of come out of this? Is that enough for Jesus to move? Well, let's find out. Verse 25. And Jesus saw that the crowd came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Whew. Mm. So Jesus, and I mean, obviously we're not saying that faith and strong belief gets you things that you're asking for. But I mean, clearly when you're coming to Jesus and he tells you, "Hey, all things are possible for those who believe." And the man was vulnerable and says, "I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Mm. God, you help me." Yeah. He healed the boy. Yeah. It was clearly acceptable to Jesus to be real in a moment, not be fake.
Yeah.
Right. Taking that mask off. And then lastly in the story, and I've heard this talked about too, and I just think it's so awesome. And I'm probably stealing, it's probably Matt Chandler, but I love that this isn't, I don't know, it's not the Hollywood version of good versus evil where there's actually a fight. There is no fight.
Right.
Jesus spoke all things into existence. All things that are or ever have been created were created and held together by him, including these demonic things, right? Demonic angels that fell. And I love the fact that there wasn't a fight. It wasn't like Jesus is like, "Come out of them." And they weren't like, "Not this time." And they got into this like battle and there's fight and they're shooting. That wasn't how it went. Yeah. It was Jesus proclaimed, they obeyed. Yeah. And I love that. I love in other stories that I like talking about just the power of Jesus. But I love that. I love the authority of Jesus in here. There wasn't an epic battle scene that, from like Matrix. And they're like shooting like whatever fish tacos at each other or something.
Yeah.
It was, this is what it is, and you obey.
Yep.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah, and that's one of the most powerful prayers from a transparent heart, like in Scripture. That's something I always go back to as well. I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah.
But a second thing that William Craig brings up pertaining to doubt, he said, when doubt arises, keep in mind the proper relationship between faith and reason. And what he was essentially saying was, you know, how do I know that my faith is true? Because a lot of times we get into situations and just life in general, man, I can question certain things. I can doubt a variety of different things. And it's because God's Spirit makes it evident to us that our faith is true. And I love how Paul says this. This is some of my favorite verses, and it's Romans 8:15-16. And it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And then this part right here, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God."
Mm.
That is an absolute. Whew. If you are a born again believer, that yeah. in and of itself is an absolute. And sure it's something is. That I always go back to when I'm experiencing doubt and I'm questioning things and I'm wondering.
That's if good. God's I need to go right now to Romans 8:15 and bookmark that and go to that every morning if you need to.
It's
that
is so good. Absolutely it is absolute. Absolute. There's just no debating that. And so it's a scripture I always used to go back to. Okay, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That is an absolute. My spirit is in absolute agreement with that statement, because if you're a born again believer, you know what that is saying. You know what that means. So therefore, me doubting God's involvement in this area or his sovereignty in that area, man, this is something I am certain of. I know that I have been born again. I know the foundations of my faith and what I believe, and therefore I can go back to the basics and not let my mind and my thoughts wander. I can take those captive and just go back to those basics. So that's something, man, I always lean on.
Yeah, hit me that pen on. Again. That's nice. So that's Romans 8:16. I mean, 16 is the crescendo. Left hook,
yeah.
That's pretty strong right there, man. Yeah, you need a little hand. You need a little refresher right there. That's absolute. The Spirit of God confirms and with our spirit that we are children of him.
There's witness with it. Nothing. There's nothing like that. Man. There's nothing. When I just read nothing that, it's like, but yes,
the blood of Jesus. Come on. Oh, precious. All right, sorry. he wants us to do.
We might do a whole episode of just singing songs. I think that'd be a hit, dude.
Shitty wants us to do an entire episode where we're hearing the music in our ears. Yes. And you're only hearing us sing.
But we're genuinely like singing our hearts out. And like we think we sound flawless because of our headphones. I think it'd be super cool.
I think it would
Leave a comment if you want to see that. I think someone out there does.
An absolute train wreck.
Dude, it'd be good, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, speaking of train wreck, have you recovered from last week?
I told you the sun was in my eyes and I tripped on the third throw and stubbed my toe. So it's really like a default win. Okay. I don't even know if you would consider that a win.
Well, you had three throws, but yeah, that's true.
It's like if you played against the Patriots back when Brady was on the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but Brady was injured and you beat them. It's like, yeah, I mean, you know, you still win.
And
but
you're Tom Brady?
That's what some would say.
Okay.
In the disc golf community,
yeah.
I think many would attest that like it's
Tom Brady.
You know how we were just talking about absolutes?
Yes.
That is, I would say my golf game is absolutely on the level of Tom
Brady. Frisbee golf.
Yes, my disc golf.
Oh, my bad.
Don't insult it to say frisbee golf, dude, ever again. I'm going to have the whole disc golf community.
All right, here's what we'll do. Not this week, not next week, but here in the next couple of episodes, they might see a rematch.
Okay.
So
we can even shoot a vlog style, a whole 18.
Ooh, that could be cool for a little episode. Where is there courses around here?
There's a super sick course in Murfreesboro. You played that nice one, huh?
They call it courses?
Yep.
Y'all got disc I can use?
It's just like golf, dude. There's like professional. They have caddies. They have range finders.
I'll get a cart, golf cart?
Well, no, you
know. And then just like golf.
Remember the athleticism you talked about you had last episode? We don't need golf carts, dude.
Well, they saw it last episode. I mean, what is this?
Proof is in the pudding.
The proof's in the pudding. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to get my own cart.
Okay.
If I got to ride around with one of them little, what are those called, little Segways?
Yeah, you could Segway.
Those little hoverboards.
Yeah.
To the next hole.
You could Segway. That'd be actually kind of sick.
Y'all got the disc for me?
We do. I got a ton.
Cool. Well, we'll have to run that back. That'd be pretty cool.
I got a ton.
But back to this, man. Doubt. I want to read one more scripture in Matthew 21, starting in verse 21. I might go a little bit before that, actually. Just so it kind of the context is there. It says this, Matthew 21:20. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And just so you know, Jesus, in the morning he was returning to the city, he came hungry and seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." So Jesus, again, his superior power, is commanding a tree to do something, and it does it. And his disciples witnessed this and said, "How in the world did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, be able to do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it. If you have faith." Now, man, that is scripture that I probably shouldn't have brought up here at the end of a podcast, because there's a lot that needs to be unpacked there. That's not saying that if we have faith and do not doubt, that if we command a mountain to move, it will move. I believe it is saying it could. Mm-hmm. I believe it is saying God's sovereign and that is enough. But I think it's using language that one would have been understood then of like impossibilities, and as like really trying to show you that, hey, you having faith and not doubting in God, you will be able to do the things that Jesus has done. And gosh, I should have probably done this more at the beginning. The point is, let me hit the point. The point of the verse is what Jesus is saying, and there's other complimentary verses that Jesus is like, "Hey, you will do greater things than what you've seen here." Yeah. And if you see what's taking place, if you see the explosion of the early church in Acts, if you see these, I mean, that was definitely fulfilled. And all of that, all of even our walk, all of even us saying like, "Hey," the last episode when I ended it talking about watching people who months before were struggling, now they're preaching the gospel. That's not possible without faith. That's not possible without conquering doubt and doubting your doubt, right? Doubt your doubts, bro.
Yep.
I heard this thing like, don't doubt God, doubt your doubts.
Yeah.
How much sovereign, how much power, how much evidence have you seen God moving in your life? Not only that, but the spirit that you just read in Romans 8, mm-hmm. the spirit, his spirit that confirms in your spirit that you are a child of God. What's the word? Not confirms, but it's...
You would ask that. Bears witness.
Bears witness yep. to your spirit that you are a child of God. That power.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt your doubts, man. Mm. How much history have you, how many times have we said, this is going to be so bad, this is going to be so bad, and I have this played out. If I do this or I don't do this, I'm going to do this.
Yep.
How many times have we been like, that wasn't that bad?
Yep.
Doubt your doubts, man.
Yeah.
Not the King of Kings.
Yeah.
The Lord of Lords.
Mm.
That's
good.
My King.
That's good. So I got one more point, but first I'm going to read a quote. And it may sound contrary to the third point, but it's not. It actually complements it. So this is a quote from William Craig, and it says, "The secret to dealing with doubts in the Christian life is not to resolve all of one's doubts, for that is probably impossible in a finite lifetime. Rather, the secret is learning to live victoriously with one's unanswered questions. By understanding the true foundation of our faith and by assigning to reason its proper role, we can prevent unanswered questions from turning into destructive doubts. In such a case, we shall not have answers to all our questions, but in a deeper sense, that will not matter, for we shall know that our faith is true on the basis of the Spirit's witness, and we can live confidently even while having questions we cannot answer." And I think it's so true, man, when you just go back to the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, man, it is so certainly true, man. But the third point he brings up is pursue your doubts into the ground. You know, it's like you said earlier, not just like, okay, I experienced these doubts. I have these doubts. So this just is what it is. You know, I'm just going to accept it, embrace it. I'm just going to walk with my head down. No, we're not saying that at all either, but it's pursue these doubts into the ground, you know?
Yeah.
From time to time, man, seek answers. And he narrowed it down to like, when you're having doubts in a variety of areas, man, seek answers to one of those.
Mm.
Pick one of those down from the shelf and seek out the answers. There's been many other believers before you who have probably experienced the same questions. There's been many books written. There's been many authors or theologians or pastors or sermons, or there's some material out there that somebody's experienced that God's put out there for you specifically to watch, to receive, to understand. And that'll give you a better understanding and give you rest and give you peace in whatever doubt you're experiencing or having, because God has something for that. I'm certain of that. There's somebody out there who's experienced the same things, and those certain things have been addressed. Now, it may not immediately fix that. It may be a process. It may take a while. There may be something in the trial within that you're facing that God desires to grow you, ways in which he's teaching you, ways in which he's doing something yet to be revealed to you. But nonetheless, man, just take heart and just know, man, his spirit bears witness with our spirit, and I can have confidence in that.
Yeah. Man, that's good. And I was going to end it with like a personal example of doubts and you and I going back and forth, but I think that's good, man. Mm-hmm. I think I believe, help me in my unbelief. Mm-hmm. And I think doubt your doubts, not the King of Kings. I will say, as we're closing up, just kind of be on the lookout in the next few weeks. I've had the honor to get to see, we kind of plugged it before, but Carl and his sister, Catherine, they have recorded a podcast, and it's going to be a treat. That should be coming out, I don't know, in a few weeks, maybe a month when the time's right. We're going to hit you with that hitter. But it's emotional. It's deep. It's siblings talking about their story, and it's pretty special. Mm. We also have Emilio's daily devotions that should be coming out in the same amount of time, about a month maybe. He better get on it. No. Those are good. He's recorded some. He just has a presence about himself. Emilio's brain and the way that God's wired him, he thinks differently. Like, I'll see a scripture, he'll see a scripture, and God will hit him with something different than me, and I love that. And a lot of guys respond to him, and he's a powerful presence too. He's just a big man who has a teddy bear heart. So that stuff coming out. What else we got coming down the pipe? Might put up a new item or two on our store. We have, I don't know if you can see this, but we have some vinyl stickers that we're kind of working through, some design type stuff. I don't know if that one's going to be it, but it's very quality. So we might do some of that. We're just walking into this year. What are we? What, second week now? Today's the... Where's my calendar here? Today's the 11th, Tuesday the 11th, is that right? Tuesday the 11th. Yeah, today's Tuesday the 11th. And you just saw behind the curtain in the Wizard of Oz. Did you see the? We got a little man back here that's doing all the. But here in second week of 2022, we're blessed. We have some really cool things happening that we're going to talk about. You kind of heard him talk about a blog and maybe doing some stuff like that. But there's some new shows coming to the S2L studio. I believe there's going to be Ron and Barb are going to do one. Ron Anderson, Pastor Ron Anderson and his wife, about one that's kind of aimed at parents. If you would, comment in the section if any of these sound good. Let us know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're going to be doing that. But a lot of cool stuff happening. We're seeing some cool fruit in the ministry right now. Guys getting saved, giving their life to the Lord, baptized. Like I said, I think last episode, we've had guys preaching sermons. But yeah, man. What do you think? Close us out here.
His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Take and that's in that. Life after addiction. You better believe it. Life after
addiction. If you have any questions, you like S&M podcast, email them to info@springtolife.net. That's info@spring2life.net. And for more information on addiction recovery, visit S2LRecovery.org.
Hi, I'm Beckett Cook, host of The Beckett Cook Show. I lived as a gay man in Hollywood for many, many years until I had a radical encounter with Jesus 13 years ago. Since then, I've gotten my master's degree in seminary and published a book called A Change of Affection. On my podcast, The Beckett Cook Show, I sit down with fascinating Christian scholars and thinkers to address the lies of the culture and bring the biblical truth to bear on those lies. To start listening now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for The Beckett Cook Show on your favorite podcasting platform.